of a cannon.
Welcome to Winning Starts on Monday with Andrew Moore.
And he puts on the Superman cape again.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Winning Starts on Monday. I'm Andrew Moore and it's great to be with you as we wrap up round 9 of the NRL season and look ahead to round 10. St George Illawarra has proven it deserves to be the premiership favourite after a crushing win over Melbourne. I know it may have only been 4-3. I know Melbourne was controversially disallowed a Josh Addo car try, but scoring tries isn't the only way to score points, and the fact that Gareth Widdop was able to kick 6 penalty goals, I think, is an indication about how dominant the Dragons were and have been throughout the season. It was also a round which featured another great turnout at a regional centre, this time Bathurst, with a ground record crowd of more than 10,000 at Carrington Park, and a great game to boot. Warriors powerhouse winger David Fusatua, a.k.a. the Fuss, scored another great try, while the West Tigers appear to have punctured a tyre on their bus, falling to a third straight loss. Cronulla enters the top 8, holding on to beat Parramatta, the Eels almost producing a miracle finish at Shark Park. My guest on this podcast today will be St George Illawarra second rower Tarek Sims, who is in career best form and surely headed for State of Origin selection for New South Wales. My highlight of the weekend, look, definitely the Dragons' performance yesterday before a packed Cogra Oval crowd of more than 19,000. Ralph Tucker produces Winning Starts on Monday and our rugby league coverage on ABC Grandstand. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Andrew.
What was your standout moment in round 9?
I've got to say it's something that took place off the field. I was fortunate enough to be at the Sydney Football Stadium yesterday, and I witnessed after the warm-up, Daly Cherry-Evans take off his warm-up shirt, give it to a young fan in the front row. I haven't been his biggest fan, to be honest, Daly Cherry-Evans, over the years, but I must say witnessing that just shows that footballers do have a heart and they're able to deliver things. And this is something that's not an isolated incident, but it's something that I thought that young fan will now go away and take away from that an experience that he'd never have in his life before.
It is something we are starting to see more and more of, which is just fantastic. And I think Jonathan Thurston deserves the credit for that too. He's been the man to lead the way in that regard.
Yeah, and they do it without wanting to capture the attention, and it was something that wasn't picked up by the broadcaster on the day. It was something that just happened right behind me, and I thought it was a wonderful gesture by Daly Cherry-Evans.
Yeah, no, good. I'm glad that you saw it. I reckon 3 players in particular stood out on losing teams over the weekend. You were at the SFS yesterday. Martin Taupau was outstanding for Manly. Kalyn Ponga was on fire for Newcastle against South, and Cameron Munster was brilliant for the Storm yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. Watching Martin Taupau, he has one of the biggest engines in the game. He came off at about, I'm not sure what part in the second half, but he was spent. He was doubled over just because of pure exhaustion and then went on for another stint. He's an amazing footballer and, like you said, did it all in a losing cause. And that Kalyn Ponga, I mean, the sky's the limit for him.
All right, now, a significant sour note from the weekend. News came through on Sunday night that North Queensland front rower Scott Bolton has been charged with indecent assault after an alleged incident at a Bondi bar on Saturday night. According to various reports, including the one from the police, a woman made a complaint and was interviewed by police at the club after Bolton had left. He was charged on Sunday at Waverley Police Station in Sydney. Scott Bolton will face court on June 19. He will be allowed to continue playing for the Cowboys until the court process runs its course, unless he indicates he'll plead guilty. And the Cowboys are in action on Thursday night against West Tigers at Leichhardt Oval. On to some of the audio out of the weekend. South Sydney hooker Damien Cook, who I believe should be the New South Wales State of Origin hooker, he had some very interesting comments about his main rival for that job, Dragons hooker Cameron McInnes.
He's very consistent. He's always been a good defender and good service out of dummy half as well. So he's doing what a hooker needs to do down there. And, like I say, he's tough competition, probably the best hooker in the comp at the moment.
Speaking of hookers, Cronulla's terrific number 9, Jaden Brayley, spoke of the Sharks' inability at the moment to play out the full 80 minutes.
The great teams are going to put those games to bed and just control that finish. You know, whether it's just, you know, finding the touchline or off a kick and just a little bit of game management. But yeah, as you said, you know, we should have finished that game, you know, with a decent lead ahead of Para, but saying that, you know, we played really tough and still 2 points.
And another hooker, although he plays all over the forward pack, Sydney Roosters forward Victor Radley pulled off this try-saving tackle, probably the biggest of the season, on Dylan Walker.
DCE shows it, gives it, Walker, close down for a tackle. Try-saving tackle, darting across.
Victor Radley again.
It is Victor Radley. Now there's an error at the play the ball. They botched it at the play the ball, Manly, and look at them come from everywhere on the park. What a performance defensively from the Sydney Roosters. And Victor Radley with a starring role on the defensive side of the ball. Listen to the roar. 21 minutes to go. The Roosters 20, Manly 14. How did they get out of that with no points?
Well, that was Dylan Walker was going to score. He would have scored every day of the week, bar Sunday, this day in May.
And injured Brisbane prop Josh Maguire is still hopeful of recovering from his ankle injury in time to represent Queensland in Origin 1.
Yeah, definitely. What, 4 or 5 weeks away, so I'll give myself every opportunity to be there. I won't play if I'm not at a capability to be able to play, but at the moment we're taking it day by day, and every day a lot more positive about playing Origin.
All right, let's go.
The Weekend Wrap.
Yes, joining me to wrap up the weekend is premiership-winning Canterbury captain, former Parramatta Eel, former New South Wales Blue and former Australian Kangaroo, Andrew Ryan. Hello, Bobcat. How you going, mate?
I'm going excellent. How are you?
It couldn't be better. First up, Melbourne coach Craig Bellamy says the Dragons are the benchmark in the premiership. That is very hard to argue against, isn't it?
Oh, I totally agree with him. Look, I guess me, like a lot of people, keep expecting that at some stage the Dragons may hit a few speed bumps, but yesterday they put an exclamation point on the competition. They were excellent, and you know, I totally agree with Craig Bellamy because that was probably one of the biggest tests that they've had this year.
Don't know how much you saw of the game yesterday between the Sydney Roosters and Manly. It ended up being a much more entertaining game than I think some people imagined. But that's a vital win for the Roosters. It was one of the more incredible try-saving tackles you've ever seen by Victor Radley. But it shows you they're still nowhere near where we thought they would be at this stage of the season.
No, I guess they sort of eked their way through the performance yesterday. And, you know, as you said, Victor Radley, that tackle, he's, and the size of him, he's not a big imposing figure either. But, he puts himself in the right spot. And, the Roosters just haven't found any rhythm, I suppose. All that expectation heading into the season and, you know, premiership favourites, basically. And, it just hasn't fully come together, but take the 2 points and run.
Cronulla is into the top eight after just holding on to beat Parramatta on Saturday night. Are you convinced about this Sharks team, Bobcat? Admittedly, they're missing Paul Gallen, Luke Lewis, Josh Dugan and now Wade Graham once again?
Yeah, they are missing those guys, but, you know, it's, without going over old ground again too much, you know, they've had so much change and so much talk around, particularly their fullback and 5/8 position. I'm not fully sold on it yet. And it'll be interesting. Obviously, Val Holmes played really well on the weekend. Mm. Dugan's out for an extended period. But, yeah, I'm just still not fully sold on the whole Moylan situation. But he's sticking to his guns, Shane Flanagan.
Now, I know you're at Hunter Stadium on Friday night watching South Sydney against the Knights. Two questions from that game, Bobcat. First of all, just how impressed were you and are you with the Rabbitohs' new-look attacking prowess?
Oh, look, they just hit their straps from the first minute of the game. The first couple of rounds, they sort of didn't struggle. It took them a little bit of time to adapt to the new way they play, but I think they've found a really good rhythm. I think they've got, when they need to just power through the middle, they've got that in them. When they need to use class and move the ball around, they've got that too. And I think they've still got some issues defensively. They do have some, they're a bit fragile there from time to time, but my goodness, ball in hand. And when they're on, they are really good to watch.
And the second question pertaining to that game, talk to us about Kalen Ponga. What did you see from him?
Oh, look, we said through the call that, you know, this guy, he actually makes players better players for being around him and running either side of Kalen Ponga. And you know, for this young kid who's only in early stages of his footy career, for him to just come out and do what he's doing every single week, and especially with, you know, such a leader in their club, Mitchell Pearce, in those key positions being out, for what he's doing, and he's... and just the options. Every single time he elects to take on the line, he picks the right option, which a young guy in a key position and running all of those, the amount of kilometres he's doing in games, it's massive.
This is like Brad Fittler, Brandy Alexander, young Darren Lockyer stuff, isn't it? It's sharing a similar level of excitement with a new bloke on the scene. 18 first grade games.
Yeah, it's scary, really, you know, and sort of, it is hard to try and compare guys, you know, but those couple you mentioned there, when you watch this kid play, he's so cool and calm, and yeah, he's really exciting and electric, so the sky's the limit.
And just finally, I don't know, we were sort of half-watching the Warriors game as we were getting ready for our game at Shark Park. A very convincing win over the West Tigers. They sit in second place. I'm wondering what you think is the most impressive aspect about them, because they seem so fit now. They have a terrific forward pack. They've got the steady heads in Blake Green and Tohu Harris that they've picked up during the last off-season. I think they've got the best wing combination, minus Josh Adokar and Suliasu Vunivalu, in the Premiership. What is it about them most that impresses you?
Well, it's a funny one, because I think the thing that impresses me most is we spoke to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck a few weeks ago, and we used the word resilience and how they keep doing that, and their resilience with so many guys out injured as well, guys coming in. So that's the most impressive thing. But it also could potentially at some stage bring them undone if you know, these guys aren't used to this new training regime. You know, they are a lot fitter, but I don't know if there's a correlation there with these injuries or whether it's just bad luck at this time of year. So hopefully if they can get everyone on deck for extended periods, it'll be a good thing for them. But that's what's impressed me most, just how they continue to turn up for each other. And it doesn't matter who's pulling the shirt on at the moment.
Well, we'll get an update on the injury situation with Ralph Tucker shortly in the recovery. Andrew Ryan, thanks for the weekend wrap.
Thank you.
Tries of the week.
Referee will have a look and awards the try.
Yes, let's get into the tries of the week. And South Sydney burst out of the blocks with two tries in the opening 6 minutes against Newcastle.
Yeah, Reynolds, a nice ball, and here's already some danger as Johnson goes straight through. They've got a 2-on-1. This will be the first points of the game. Oh, South Sydney have made that look horribly easy. And over on that far left-hand side, Robert Jennings has scored. That came just way too easily. South Sydney 4, Newcastle 0, 9 metres out. Still South with plenty of tackles. They play the second man. An opportunity. Oh, at the goal line, too easy again. They're in again, South. Cody Walker's just had a crack at them from close range. The Knights have got problems. It's 10-0 here. Rabbitohs over Newcastle.
In Bathurst, Jonathan Thurston, who's playing well again, scored North Queensland's fourth and final try against Penrith in Bathurst.
Last tackle to the left to go. Lachlan Coote with a left-footed boot. It's going to come down just out from the goal line. It's tapped back by Neil for Jonathan Thurston, and JT's over. Provided that wasn't knocked on, that's a try to the Cowboys. It is. Thurston gets one back for the Cowboys, and they extend their lead.
At Canberra Stadium, Leipana was at it again. The Raiders' combination of Joey Leilua and Jordan Rapanar struck against Gold Coast.
Pingano goes right-hand side to Soliola. Then it goes to Caesar. Back it goes to BJ Leilua. Gets his arm free. Gets the pass away to Rapanar. In the corner, try. Oh, that looks spectacular in the end. Slow motion to start with. But then when BJ Leilua and Jordan Rapanar get together, wow, try in the corner. Spectacular, to say the least.
Well, the man who seems to feature weekly on this podcast, the Fuss, Warriors winger David Fusatua, struck early and brilliantly against the West Tigers in Auckland.
Green to this right side, out the back to Blair. Lovely hand from Short Johnson to David Fusatua. And is there a better finisher in the NRL right now? He didn't have much to do. David Fusatua in that southwest corner. The Warriors have the first try of the game.
Mitchell Moses almost grabbed victory from the jaws of defeat, or a draw from the jaws of defeat, and he scored this try in the 80th minute against Cronulla.
Short little ball away to Edwards, runs over the top of one, can't link up with anyone though. Gufferson couldn't get clear. 28 out, he plays the ball quickly, comes away to Corey Norman, spins away from the tackle. Fairdigan, he's still standing, Norman, but he can't offload. He had 18 opportunities. Last tackle, 50 seconds left. 22-16, Cronulla, Takarangi. He sends it right, Moses. Then away to Mulroa. They don't want him with the ball. He flicks a specky out the back to Mitchell Moses again.
No way.
Gummies scores, gets it down. He got past Pryor. He scores. You can't believe it. Cronulla 22, Parramatta 20.
On Sunday, Tim Laffey did his best Cape Crusader imitation, diving over on the left wing to score St George Illawarra's third try against Melbourne.
Last tackle, comes away to win it, back the short side again it goes. The pass comes out to Laffey, who's diving over to score in the southeastern corner.
Manly was off to a quick start against the Sydney Roosters before Blake Ferguson crossed the stripe to get the Roosters back in the game.
Now to Tedesco. Tedesco still running in the diagonal out towards that right edge. Orbison to Ferguson. Ferguson makes a play in the corner. He's got it down, and finally the Roosters have their first points. It's taken a quarter of an hour, but they've got there.
The recovery.
Well, two incidents in particular made the eyes water, Ralph Tucker. One on Sunday when Cameron Smith collected a shot to the, how do we put it, the ghoulies. And he struggled with that for some time. He thought Jeremy Lattimore went for his how you goings deliberately. I don't think Jeremy has that in him, to be honest. And then the compound fracture suffered by Penrith prop Trent Merrin in the warm-up in Bathurst was a shocker.
Yeah, it was. I watched that Cameron Smith incident at the SFS yesterday on TV. We were trying to work out what was going on. You've explained it as well as anyone can explain it, and I hope the crown jewels are okay for next week.
Well, I tell you what, everyone's been there at some point, but minutes, like 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes later, he was still struggling to get his breath. And there was one time, maybe 5 minutes after, they're packing a scrum down at the other end of the ground, and he just needed a minute to crouch and just...
Why does everybody laugh when that happens, apart from when it happens to you?
Yeah, I don't know. You see in cricket, don't you? Every time someone's hitting the old Hector protector, it's everyone's giggling. But the Merrin thing was awful, wasn't it?
Oh, it was horrible. He actually came out, and I spoke to him on the sideline after that. He put the so basically, compound fracture means you put the bone through the skin.
Yes.
He was hoping to be back in 2 weeks. He's had surgery. I'm thinking 4 weeks has to be a minimum on that, but that footballers, they're tough hombres, aren't they?
Oh, he just stood there for the rest of the game.
Yep, in the cold.
Brisbane suffered a blow on, that was back on Thursday night, wasn't it, with teenage prop sensation Payne Haas. He's going to be out for, what, at least 4 weeks?
Yeah, ankle injury. 2 to 4 weeks, they're saying, for him. He's the biggest human on the planet, and we hope he can get back soon.
The Warriors, they've paid quite the price, haven't they, for their impressive win over West in Auckland?
Yeah, it looks like 2 to 4 weeks for Sean Johnson. Actually, 4 to 6 weeks with an ankle injury. Isaac Luke, a similar stint on the sideline. He has a shoulder injury. Better news for Adam Blair. He could be back this week despite another ankle injury.
Okay, and what else from the weekend?
Yeah, so there's plenty doing. Wade Graham re-injured his hamstring for Cronulla. That's not good news for him. He's saying he wants to be back before Origin. I think it'll be touch and go. It's the same injury that he's done again, so it looks like 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, at the late. Well, speaking of Cronulla, what's the timeline for those other injured forwards, Luke Lewis and Paul Gallen?
Yeah, Shane Flanagan is hinting that Paul Gallen could be back as early as this week. That'd be an outside chance, I'd say for Gal. Luke Lewis is still another 2 to 3 weeks away. And like I said, Wade Graham, that's probably going to be 4 weeks. The young forward, Scott Sorensen, he suffered a broken hand. That's probably 3 to 5 weeks for him.
Dear, oh dear. Anything else?
Yeah, Jack DeBellin limped off yesterday with a hip injury. He'll be assessed today for the Dragons, so fingers crossed for him. Also, not only from that point of view, but also from the point of view for New South Wales. And Gold Coast, Jai Arrow, remarkably, may play this week after going to hospital. What they were saying was perhaps even a collapsed lung and rib contortions and whatnot, but they're saying it could be just bruised ribs and should be right to play this weekend.
Now it's time for Weekend Weirdness. What was that about?
Love this part of the podcast every week. Normally Matthew Elliott starts us off and finishes us off, to be honest. But today my initial focus is on Andrew Bobcat Ryan, who joined me for the Weekend Wrap. And it was the start and end to the broadcast, basically, on Saturday. My mate lost his way a little and lost it completely during our initial on-air preview of the Cronulla-Parramatta game.
Just on the heels, Clint Gutherson... I know. Oh, I know.
You couldn't get through it without talking about Gutho.
But I don't think it is any coincidence that they have started to turn the corner when he's come back from injury. He's only played three games. They've won two of them. He's captaining the team on the field. He has a huge influence on this side.
David Gow has been back in those two games as well. You could say the same thing.
I like David Gow, but I think Gutho is at a whole new level. And as I say, Bobcat, he's got the captaincy. He means a lot. Oh, you're fair dinkum. I was being serious.
No, so was it. No, he's such a special player, and they love playing with him.
Righto, thanks for your support.
And it's fair to say Bobcat was completely perplexed by Parramatta's last-minute try against the Sharks.
Cronulla 22, Parramatta 20. 30 seconds left. Bobcat, I saw it, and what? I don't believe it. Just explain to me how on earth that happened.
I can't.
Matthew Elliott's sound effects were in full force once again. He just loves the nickname of bunker official Jared Maxwell, the horse.
Just a try. You don't need to look at it again. Horsey.
Once is enough. It's a try. We are looking at it again.
While at Cogra on Sunday, and look, Matthew has always claimed that despite me being only 49 years of age, that I've been calling football since 1908. And yes, sometimes it does feel like that. Well, this is what happened, and it started courtesy of a listener.
Matthew, how do you feel commentating with Andy after listening to him when you were a kid? Please.
Well, actually, please. We need to articulate that because I was in awe. I used to be in awe of Andy when he used to sit on the sideline there with the, you know, the little flat table there, with the flat cap on. I used to love it when you used to do that. Mm. That was great. And you used to speak completely differently as well. How you used to go on there on the sideline.
What was that? Sorry, just pause. How did I used to speak when I called on the sideline with a flat cap and a flat table?
A card table.
Yes, a card table. How did
I used to speak?
Speak
loudly and really articulate well.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think you started off with a Pommy accent the first time you did it.
I could have.
I think you well could have.
I could have, but you know. I'm not. You did as well. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm. No, I have no idea.
How you used to go on there on the side.
Maybe a bit Scottish. Sorry. Maybe a bit Scottish. Oh, well played, Julian.
Oh, you've lost me.
Well, as we mentioned, St George Illawarra was outstanding again yesterday for the most part as the Red and Whites dismantled Melbourne 34-14 at Cogra. And it was great to be there because the atmosphere was tremendous. More than 19,000 crowding the old ground. And my co-commentator, Matthew Elliott, gave his three Player of the Year points to Tarek Sims. He may not have had the bigger stats of some other players, perhaps, but that doesn't tell the story. Once again, everything Tarek did, either with a ball in hand or in defence, had significant impact. Tarek Sims is on the line. Well done, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Very, very well. You guys, as did Melbourne, look really ramped up for this one. What was the mood like in the sheds before kickoff?
Yeah, look, it was it was a pretty hostile situation out there. Actually, there was a lot of emotion in the game. Obviously, we hadn't played since Anzac Day and either a day. So we'd had a really good break. I think it was an 11-day turnaround, and then for two teams that are going pretty well this year, we definitely stepped up to the plate and delivered on the entertainment side of it.
One thing you don't want to do is be chasing Melbourne on the scoreboard, and you guys burst out of the blocks quickly ahead 10-0, which I assume is about exactly the start you're after.
Yeah. Look, we know what the Melbourne Storm can do to you once they, they get on top of the scoreboard. They just strangle you to death, sort of what we did try to do to them yesterday. So, we try to get a few points early on the ball because we know the Melbourne Storm are a very fast-starting side. So once we got a few tries on the board and then we just kept trying to march down their end and, when the penalties came, we took the penalty goals and reset and then just went back into our structures and what we knew would get us up the field. And, fortunately, we ended up taking a few more penalties along the way. So we just kept kicking for goal.
Well, see, I know people are saying it was only 4-3, but you were getting those penalty goals because you were in a dominant position on the field. And that speaks tales. It's not just tries you can score points from. That, to me, was an indication that you guys were dominant.
Yeah, look, not taking anything away from the Melbourne Storm forward pack. I think they were hit by a few injuries, throughout the year. But I think some of their forwards, were exceptional. They were playing huge, huge minutes. And for them to just keep turning up in defence is very Melbourne Storm-esque. So, you know, full credit to those boys. But, you know, we knew our role. We knew what we had to do. We knew the people that we needed to target and get to and send traffic out so we could get, you know, on the front foot, like you said, and be dominant in the ruck there. So, you know, for the most part of the game, I thought that we were, but a few silly mistakes on both sides of the field, you know, sort of put a bit of a mark on the game.
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre, wasn't it? There were really high-quality moments followed by two, three, four really basic
play,
errors.
Play one, play two.
Yeah.
It was very same thing out there. It was sort of... Like, obviously, you don't go out in the game to, you know, knock the ball on or drop the ball or throw a forward pass. But, you know, these things happen in footy and it's a, you know, you're under a bit of fatigue out there. But, yeah, it was sort of schoolboy error stuff. So I'm sure both teams will both be working on that during the week for sure.
What do you take from Craig Bellamy's post-game comments that St George Illawarra is the benchmark for 2018? Is that something you guys embrace or want to shy away from?
Oh, look, I heard that comment last night. I was asked that by the media straight after the game. And, look, it's don't get me wrong, it's flattering from Craig Bellamy. You know, he's done pretty much all everything in the game. He's learned off the master, and now he's a master himself. So, look, it's nice, but, look, there's still a long way to go. I mean, that was only round 9 on the weekend. So, look, yeah, we're under no illusion that it's a long season. A lot can happen and a lot can change. You know, injuries play a major factor and keeping your squad healthy is the most important thing. So, you know, it is nice, but, yeah, we'll just keep marching on to the next game, mate, because that's what we need to focus on is, you know, a big game this week from the Bunnies.
Oh, yeah, we'll get onto that in a moment. Look, I don't know whether you guys are sick to death of being asked about Origin or loving the dialogue, but Matt Elliott put to me on air yesterday during the call, name me a back rower going better than Tarek Sims this year, and I didn't have an answer. How confident are you that this consistent, damaging form that you and your fellow forwards are in will lead to representative rewards in the next month or so?
Oh, well, look, mate, it's obviously nice. You know, and it's not individual. Like you said, it's a whole squad. Our whole forward pack is going forward, and I think that's why it's such a good platform for Ben and Gareth to play off because, you know, they are getting quick play of the ball. We are winning the ruck through the middle. So I think it's a collective, you know, sort of, how would you say it? It is nice, but look, we've got a – there's a long way to go before Origin's peak. There's still two or three more weeks until the squad's announced. So we've got to make sure we're putting our best foot forward for the team and doing our role in the team. And it starts again this weekend with the Rabbits.
Well, I thought Cameron McInnes and Ewan Aitken went a step in that direction as well again yesterday. So you have this high-octane game against Melbourne, which I'm sure ate up as much mental energy as it did physically. And another big game coming up, as you mentioned, next Sunday against the very much in-form Rabbitohs. Is there any sort of mental battle as a player to ensure you're up again 7 days on?
Oh, look, mate, we've got a great coaching staff. We've had the same coaching staff for the last maybe 2 years, and we've learnt a lot from what happened last year with the player burnout. So this year, you know, our pre-season, as probably everyone's heard, it was no easy pre-season. No pre-season is, but we got stuck into each other again, and then this year, we've really focused on recovery. So throughout the week, we'll do a lot of recovery. We'll do some light sessions on the field, but then we'll always do one big session maybe for about an hour and a half to hour 45 minutes on the field once a week. And then, and then captain's run, and then we get stuck into the game. So it's probably more recovery focused this year, so which I think is really good, and I think it's benefiting us, especially our big boys.
All right, well, finally, with this show called Winning Starts on Monday, I really enjoyed this season hearing players' response to this. As we record this on a Monday morning, the day after you win, what does Monday have in store for Tarek Sims and the Dragons team?
We're back in the shop today. We've got a bit of recovery this morning, and then we'll do a bit of video, and then we might go for a little light trot this afternoon just to tip the legs over, and then, just hop on the ice bath, mate.
Oh, the dreaded ice bath. Good luck with that. Especially when it's getting a bit chillier. Tarek Sims, nice to catch up, mate. Very well played to you personally and to the Red and Whites. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
The week ahead.
Yes, let's look at the week ahead. Dean Halitau, former West's Tiger, Canterbury Bulldog and New Zealand international and ABC Rugby League commentator. Hello, Dean. How are you going?
Yeah, good morning. I'm good, thanks, Andrew.
Well, mate, North Queensland is playing West Tigers at Leichhardt Oval on Thursday night with a very popular figure in that squad, Scott Bolton, facing a charge of indecent assault. How does a team rally together, Dean, when something like this happens? Can it become a massive distraction?
Oh, look, no question. There'd be some amount of distraction with it going on, but I'm sure that they're in camp now for the next few days. I'll get together, they'll talk it out. They've got a few senior guys in their club that will make sure that the rest of the team is focused on getting the job done on Thursday night.
Yeah, because it comes at a time where they're hoping they've turned the corner with that win last Friday night in Bathurst. Look, it's a massive week ahead for your former club, the Tigers, too, isn't it? The bus is severely deflated after three straight losses.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we were singing their praises earlier in the year about how good they've been, particularly in defence. And they've leaked a few points the last few weeks. And they're not playing with the same sort of composure that they started the season with. So no doubt they'll be working hard to get things back on track in that regard. And just try and play simple football, play direct, and really rely on that strong defence that they've shown early on.
Yeah, well, all of that worked so well, didn't it, in the first 6 weeks or so? And look, up until Saturday, their three losses had been by 2 points each time. So it's the first time they've really been blown out of the park. I asked Tarek Sims about the difficulties in staying up mentally the week after a massive build-up to a game like the Dragons had against Melbourne, because they face an informed South Sydney on Sunday. How tough is that aspect of it, Dean, just staying mentally as at a peak as you were the week before?
Yeah, look, I think the thing is, when you're going so well, you may be at risk of getting complacent. That would be the biggest challenge. I think when you are going well, you've definitely got that confidence and the belief is there in each other. It's just whether or not you keep doing the same thing you're doing every week of training, sticking to the same processes and the routines. And I think they're in a place now with the guys they've recruited. We've spoken about that a number of times, but with who they've recruited and the situation they're in, roster-wise, I think they've got enough people to make sure that they don't drop their standards or drop their processes they go through at training to get ready for every week. So I've got no doubt that they're going to have that same frame of mind coming into, a fairly big challenge again for them this week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. Sounds a playing sensational footy. Gee, they're good to watch. Can you get a more important week, though, Dean, than the one facing Canterbury and Parramatta? And we'll be calling them on Friday night at the Olympic Stadium. The Bulldogs are second last and the Eels are last. I would imagine a loss is disastrous for either team, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, it's getting to that stage of the competition where if you don't string a few together, then, you're going to lose, well, truly lose touch with that top eight. And obviously, for both teams, being a 15th and 16th with only two wins apiece, it becomes even more important to start racking up the wins now. So, look, I'm looking forward to this game because I know in the past, Parramatta and Canterbury have always been such a fairly big game and a fairly tough one between both teams. So, no doubt, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be physical, but both teams will really want to get something happening for the season.
I'd be stunned if we don't see a lot of desperation during that 80 minutes. Dean Halitau, thanks for looking at the week ahead, mate. I'll see you at the footy.
See you out there, mate. Cheers.
So the NRL table after 9 rounds, St George Illawarra leads the way on 16 points. The Warriors second on 14. Penrith third on 12. And then making up the top 8 on 10 points, Melbourne, South Sydney, Sydney Roosters, West's Tigers and Cronulla. Outside the 8, but also on 10 points, Brisbane and Newcastle. Then Canberra on 8, North Queensland and Gold Coast 6, Manly, Canterbury and Parramatta 4 points. Round 10 shapes up this way. Thursday night comes out of Leichhardt Oval, West Tigers playing North Queensland. Friday night at 6, Newcastle at home to Penrith. And then the Bulldogs take on the Eels at the Olympic Stadium. Saturday, 3 p.m, Warriors against Sydney Roosters in Auckland, followed by the doubleheader at Lang Park, 5:30, Melbourne plays Gold Coast, 7:30, Brisbane is up against Manly. And on Sunday, the 2 o'clock game features South Sydney playing St George Illawarra at the Olympic Stadium. The 4 o'clock game has Canberra at home to Cronulla. So let's get to the tips, Ralph Tucker, and you've enjoyed a good weekend. You went into round 9-5 behind me, and it started badly for you when you tipped Newcastle and I tipped South. Mm. So I was 6 ahead, but we disagreed on 3 other games, and they've all gone in your favour. Canberra over the Gold Coast what? I picked the Titans. What was doing? Warriors over the Tigers and Cronulla over Parramatta, which ended up could have gone either way. So you're back.
I'm back. Yeah.
All right.
Three behind, but still.
I don't intend that to last very long. So let's get to these tips. First of all, Thursday night, West Tigers, North Queensland at Leichhardt Oval. I'm tipping the Tigers to bounce back. What about you?
I'm going Cowboys. I think the bus, it's parked at the moment.
What, stalled?
Yeah, stalled. It's on the side of the road.
All right, well, we start.
I don't think they've got the keys.
So they've stalled and lost the keys?
Yep.
That's not a good combination. I think that they did stall. The keys are in the ignition, and it's being fired up as we speak for Thursday night. Friday night, 6 o'clock, Newcastle at home to Penrith after you.
I'm thinking Penrith, with their injuries, might struggle up in Newcastle, so I'm going for the Knights.
So am I. Newcastle to win for that very reason. Bulldogs, Parramatta, 15th and 16th at the Olympic Stadium. I thought Canterbury played as well as it's played this year against Brisbane, even though it was another loss. I thought Parramatta for 75 minutes were hopeless against Cronulla. Really, some key players like Corey Norman just completely going missing, some terrible ball handling. I have no idea. You go first.
Parramatta should win, but I'm going for Canterbury.
Okay, is that hard overhead?
Pretty much.
All right, well, I'll go Parramatta because I can't split them. So I may as well go a different way. Saturday, 3 p.m, Warriors at home to the Sydney Roosters. No Sean Johnson, no Isaac Luke. The Roosters team still not all that impressive. Be a big game in Auckland. I'm tipping the Warriors at home.
The Roosters, for whatever reason, just can't put it together, and they don't look like a side that's combining well at all. So even though the Warriors have their injury problems, I'm going with them as well.
What about the doubleheader and Lang Park? I'll be up there with Billy Moore and Zane Bojack. 5:30 Melbourne against Gold Coast. Melbourne by as many as you like. They'll bounce back, I think.
Yeah, no doubt there. Storm easily.
And Brisbane up against Manly. I thought Manly were very good yesterday. You saw them live, but I still think Brisbane will have this knack of winning at home. I'll tip Brisbane.
Yeah, showed plenty of ticker, the Seagulls, but yeah, the Broncos should be too strong at home for them.
What about the Sunday games? 2 o'clock, we'll be there at the Olympic Stadium. I'm really looking forward to this. South Sydney against St George Illawarra. I'm tipping the Dragons, but I think it'll be a good test for their defence, and they produce more forced errors than any other team. But this Rabbitohs side, especially in attack, is rolling.
Should be a great contest there. I think Anthony Seibold has got the Rabbitohs switched on, but you can't tip against the Dragons in their current mood and form at the moment.
Okay. St George Illawarra to win. And what about the 4 o'clock game? I find this one very tough, especially before teams are picked or we know what's happening with Paul Gallen and other injuries. Canberra playing Cronulla at Canberra Stadium.
I'm going for Canberra to make it, what is it, 4 on the trot at home over the Sharks.
I'm going the other way. I think the Sharks can get the cash over Canberra. But again, plenty of ones up for grabs. So we're different on Tigers Cowboys. You're on the Cowboys, I'm on the Tigers. You have Canterbury, I have Parramatta. And then we agree all the way down to that 4 o'clock game. You have Canberra, I have Cronulla. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Tarek Sims, Andrew Ryan, Dean Hallitau, my producer Ralph Tucker and Ned Hall for editing this together. I'm Andrew Moore. Hope you have a great week and always remember, winning starts on Monday.
Thanks for listening and be sure to join us next week for Winning Starts on Monday.